I hope you can say that this morning, that you walk and talk with Him every morning. Amen. We just got done singing about our Bibles. That's how we can fellowship with Him. We can talk to Him. He can talk to us. And what a wonderful privilege that we have that we can do that. I believe one day that's coming, and it may be before we get raptured out. We've been talking about that in Sunday school, but there may come a time where they're going to try to come take your Bible from you. And I pray that you have some Bible in you. Amen. And they'll never do away with it. It's settled in heaven forever. Amen. They tried to destroy it before. They tried to destroy it in the Bible, and God gave it right back to them. Why? He has it in heaven preserved. Amen. So they'll never do away with it, but they might try to come take it. And I'm thankful for my Bible. There's some countries where the whole church might have one Bible to share between everybody. And I'm sure that most people in this room probably have multiple Bibles at home. And but they'll do you no good unless you get in them and read them. Amen. Job chapter 19, and we're going to look at a few verses in 2 Timothy chapter 1. But we won't be in 2 Timothy for a little while. I'm going to go ahead and just let you know we're going to go there in just a second. We've got a lot of verses, but we're not going to turn to them because there's no way we could for time. But I'll just mention some of the references as we look at the passage this morning that God's laid on our heart. This is where we're reading in our daily Bible reading. We're coming up to the very end of the second quarter of Bible reading. We'll be drawing again at the end of the quarter for those that have had the perfect weeks. I encourage you to continue to read your Bible every day. And even if you're doing it for the wrong reason, read your Bible every day. Amen. There's some that are just trying to do it for that, and that's fine, as long as you're reading every day and praying that the Word of God will get in you. But here's where we're reading our passage, and we have the new Bible reading schedules. I believe they're on the table in the back if you need them for the month of June. But here's where we're reading right now, and there's a lot going on in the book of Job. There's a whole lot going on. You sit down and you read the two or three chapters that we read as a church every day, and there's a whole lot going on. There's a whole lot being said. It amazes me that we find at the very beginning Job is prosperous, and he's got all these blessings of God. He's got his family, and Job is a picture of a great father, and we might mention him again next week. But he did sacrifices every day just in case his kids sinned. I mean, we got parents today that are encouraging their kids to sin. You say, how? Every time you hand them a device unsupervised, you're giving them an opportunity to sin. They're encouraging them to do wrong. But Job, he makes sacrifice every day just in case his children sinned against God. Man, that's a great dad. And all of a sudden we find where Satan comes before God. The sons of God came to present themselves to God. And Satan came with them and asked about Job. And you know the story. And God said, you can touch everything around him, but you can't touch him. And so all of his sons died and he lost everything he had. And then Satan came back to him again, to God, and said, if I was to touch his body, he'll curse you. And God said, go ahead. Man, what a scary thing. And so this happens, and he touches him with all these sores, and his wife says, curse God and die. And Job is sitting there, and he's in ashes, and he got ashes on his head, and all these horrible things. He's lost everything in his life. And he's laying there, and his wife is telling him to curse God and die, and his best friends in the world show up. And they see him in this miserable condition, and they see him in pain. He just lost all of his children. He just lost everything. I've been to a lot of funerals, sadly, or you hear of somebody losing their job or losing a loved one or a tragedy in their life, a sickness. And when you walk up to them, the first thing you want to say is, well, how you doing? That's just our natural reaction. How are you doing? Amen. And they can say, well, I'm doing okay. But the truth is, they're hurting. And Job is this way. Job chapter 19 and verse number 1. If you're there, say amen. Amen. Job 19 verse 1. Then Job answered. Now he's answering in response to Bildad the Shuhite, who began talking in chapter 18. There's a dialogue going back and forth between the friends of Job and Job. And Bildad speaks in chapter 18, chapter 19. Job answered and said, how long will ye vex my soul and break me in pieces with words? These 10 times have ye reproached me, Ye are not ashamed that ye make yourself strange to me. And be it indeed that I have erred, mine error remaineth with myself. What Job is trying to say is, hey, listen, if I've messed up, I'm paying for it right now. I mean, if I've messed up, I'm dealing with this right now. I don't need you reminding me of all the horrible things that I'm going through. And so we find this conversation and Job's being interrogated. In chapter 16, verse 2, he calls them miserable comforters. Miserable comforters. And I don't have time to preach on every one of these things. But the conversation goes on and on and on for many more chapters. But Job makes a statement regarding his friends not being ashamed of their self-righteousness and of the fact that they're distancing themselves from Job and saying, we must not be like you because all this stuff is happening. He makes the reference here of them not being ashamed. Ye are not ashamed. And I want to say this before I get into the introduction, and I want to preach on this idea of ashamed this morning. But you do not know what's going on all the time. You don't know it all. I don't care what Facebook says. I don't care what the news says. I don't care what Sister So-and-so says or Mr. Busybody. You don't know it all. You don't know when somebody's going through some things. It's not all the time because of sin. Sometimes it may be for the glory of God. You remember the story with in the New Testament with the boy that was sick, and the disciples came up and they said, who sinned, his mom or his dad? And they said, neither one. This happened for the glory of God. You never know when people are going through things what's going on. You don't know why they're suffering. You don't know why they're hurt. You don't know why it seems like everything's going bad. So don't assume to know. Amen? Don't assume to know. Sometimes it is because of sin. Sometimes it is because of things that they're involved in. But I'm telling you, if they're suffering and they're miserable, if they're a child of God and they're saved and they're going through things and they're miserable because of their sin, they know it. You don't have to remind everybody about it. Are posted all over the place. We don't always know what's going on. But he mentioned this not being ashamed. Not being ashamed. The word ashamed means affected by shame. Confused by guilt or a conviction of some criminal action. Exposure of some gross errors or misconduct. That's what the word ashamed means. And Job was saying that they were not ashamed of the way that they were treating Job. That they should have been ashamed of it. The word shame means a painful sensation excited by a conscientious of guilt. Or having done something which injures reputation. And it goes on, there's other definitions for the word shame. The word ashamed shows up 122 times in the Bible in 111 verses. And the word shame shows up 100 times in 98 verses. And we see this thing over and over again. David talked a lot about shame and being ashamed. And we find here that Job is getting on to these individuals for not being ashamed about the way that they were treating him when he was going through some struggles. And I'm to tell you this morning that there is a lot in our society that we need to be ashamed over. We just read not long ago in the book of Ezra. And Ezra needed some protection from God. And he prayed to the Lord and said, God, would you please help us? He said, I was going to ask the king if he would send protection. But if I did that, that would be a shame. I would be ashamed. Because you're the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and you should be able to help us. As we approach these things we're dealing with in our life and we're dealing with in society, I'm telling you, if we don't put all of our faith and trust in God, you ought to be ashamed. You ought to be ashamed. The very next chapter in the book of Ezra, the Bible said that Ezra was ashamed because of the sins of the nation. In the book of Isaiah, over and over and over again, it talks about being ashamed by the sins of the nation. And I'm telling you right now, church, I'm ashamed. I'm ashamed about the sins of our country. I'm ashamed. I'm embarrassed about the sins that go on in our homes every day. Ashamed. I knew this wouldn't be a real exciting message this morning, but there's some things that we ought to be ashamed about. There's some things that we absolutely ought to feel shame and be ashamed about. As a way of introduction, I'm just going to list them off and give you some verses, and then I'm going to get to the end of the message about things we should not be ashamed about. We're having a baptism this morning, and these people that have come forward and they said, I want to be baptized. You know what they're saying? I'm not ashamed of what Christ did for me. And we ought not to be ashamed, and we'll get back into that in just a moment. There are some things that we ought to be ashamed about. There are some things that ought to be shameful. And you can write them down if you're taking notes, but we're not going to look at the verses on all these. But I'd like to say, first of all, that you ought to be ashamed, and there should be some shame when you talk about something you don't know enough about it. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:13, he that answereth the matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. That's what Job was talking about. If you talk about something that you don't know the whole story, that should be a shame. It should be a shame. There's always three sides to every story. There's this person's side, and then the truth that lies somewhere in the middle. Amen? If somebody tells you something or about somebody else, it's not meant to turn around and start telling everybody else because you don't know the whole story. And it ought to be a shame. There's a lot of churches that have been destroyed because they can't get a hold of that one right there. Amen. Somebody decides to leave or something happens and all of a sudden it becomes headline news for everybody. That ought to be a shame. That ought to be a shame. Amen. It ought to be a shame when you do not discipline your children. The Bible said in Proverbs 29:15, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. It ought to be a shame if you don't discipline your children. Amen. I can't preach on all these. I got to move on. It ought to be a shame. There's parents every day. I can't help it. You go into Walmart, and the parents are embarrassed. They're ashamed about the way their kid is acting. That is your fault, ma'am. That is your fault, sir. Amen. Ought to be ashamed when you do not discipline your children. You ought to be ashamed when a brother takes a brother to court. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. I don't have time to go over all this. It is a shame for a woman to have short hair. Shaven hair. I talked about this a while ago, this new fad where the women are shaving this side of the head and having something combed over. All these styles that come from these lesbians in Hollywood. It ought to be a shame. It ought to be a shame. It's a shame for a man to have long hair. All this is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And the verse says, doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it's a shame unto him. And it talks about the short hair on a woman. And we're talking about being shaven or having a man's haircut for a woman. That ought to be a shame. What the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 11 verse 6. When we sin and know better, that ought to be a shame. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 34, be not deceived, evil communication corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. We ought to know better, amen? We ought to know better. Psalm chapter 25, verse 3, yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. You know, as a child of God, when you willfully sin and you make a decision that you know go against the Bible, that ought to bring shame. Amen. When David sinned against God and he realized what he had done, the Bible over and over again talks about how ashamed he was about the sin. You know what Christians do today? They flaunt their sin. Fools make a mock of sin. If you want to sin and post it for the whole world to see, that is a fool. Amen. And you ought to be ashamed. There's a fad going on now amongst young people in churches, in Bible-believing churches, that before they get married, putting their hands all over one another and posting it online for the whole world to see. The Bible said that it is not right for a man to touch a woman if they're not married. Period. That's just what it says. But not only do they do it, they put it out there for everybody to see. And there's a big movement now for young people that do not want to get married in church. They'd rather have a venue, a worldly venue, because why? They want to keep up with all their Instagram friends. Amen. Well, what's wrong with standing before God Almighty in a church where you got born again, where God put you together, and changing vows before God? No, you can't play country music in the back afterwards. No, you can't dance afterwards. But hey, we're here standing before God to tell God we want to love each other and we want to get married and raise a family to please you. But there's a big push today. It's all over. We don't want to get married in church. We don't want to stand before God and get married. Why? That's too old fashioned. It ought to be a shame. It ought to be a shame. The Bible said in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 12, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. It's a shame to tell secrets. It ought to be a shame. I'm getting to the good part. Hang on. I got one more before the good part. It should be a shame to go around naked. And I got verse after verse after verse after verse on this subject. Anytime nakedness was exposed in the Bible, God immediately referred to it as being shame. Nakedness is from the neck down to the knees. Anything in between that is exposed is nakedness. And if the clothes reveal what's on underneath there, that is inappropriate as well. And it should be a shame to go naked. Every time it's mentioned. As a matter of fact, the very first time a shame shows up in the Bible is in the book of Genesis. And it has to do with Adam and Eve being naked. It should be a shame. But it's not. None of these things seem to be a shame in the society we're living in today. But I'm not preaching to the world. I'm preaching to the church of the living God. These things ought to be a shame unto us. You say, well, you're just preaching preferences. No, I'm preaching the Word of God. I've got verses and verses and verses. Shamed and ashamed is mentioned a whole lot in the Bible. And these are things that God said a Christian ought to be ashamed about. But we live in a society with no shame. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. I'm glad that some of you are not baptizing me this morning. I wouldn't be able to come up. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. I love the Lord. I love my Bible. I love our church. I love the families in our church. If I didn't, I promise you, I would not preach the things that God tells me to preach. I want to see God bless your home. Amen. I don't want to see anybody's home destroyed. I don't want to see anybody... life destroyed and their marriage destroyed and their children wind up in the world and wind up on the streets and wind up in... I don't want to see any of that. It once was said years ago that when the pulpit was violent, the streets were calm. And now the pulpits are calm and the streets are violent. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. If you found your place, if you would say amen. Job shook his head as he looked at his friends and said, I can't believe that. That you're not ashamed by the way that you're behaving. You're going to read it tomorrow. You'll see it again when you read it. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 7. The Bible said, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Man, I'm thankful for that, aren't you? God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore, what? Ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. And be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. But is now manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. There are some things this morning, child of God, that you absolutely should be ashamed about. If you're hurting the testimony of Jesus Christ, that ought to bring shame. If somebody looks at you and says, I thought you were a Christian, that ought to be an immediate shame. And not, it shouldn't be something to snicker at the workplace, at school, wherever. If you are involved in social media, there ought to be nothing that brings reproach to the name of Christ. And if there is, it ought to be a shame. There used to be times years ago where people were ashamed to do things in the presence of a Christian. And now the Christians themselves are doing the same thing. It used to be a shame for a Christian to play ball on Wednesday nights or on Sundays. That was a shameful thing. And now they do it on a regular basis. They used to not even have ball on Wednesdays and Sundays because of Christians and churches. And now it's an absolute shame that the children of God are missing out all the time for whatever the world's got going on. It ought to be a shame. It used to be a shame whenever a lost person would come up to you at the workplace and they would say a cuss word and they would turn right around and say, I'm sorry for saying that, because they knew you were a child of God. And now that same exact child of God is participating and cussing and cursing at the same thing. This is the world we're living in. It ought to be a shame. But I'm here to tell you this morning, there should be some things that we are not ashamed of. That we're not embarrassed about, that we're not going to hide over, and that we're not going to be ashamed. And I'm telling you, the days that we're living in, it's going to be harder and harder to stand up to be a Christian. But I want to say this morning that we ought not to be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the creator of the heaven and earth. He is the one that is in charge. Amen. We know that the devil is the god of this world. But we find in Job where Satan had to go up and ask God's permission to be able to mess with Job. That's who's living in me. Why should I be scared? They might shoot you and I go to heaven? That's not a bad deal. Or I could be backslid and be in places I shouldn't be as a child of God and still get shot. I would much rather get shot for standing up for Christ than for doing something I shouldn't be doing. There's a lot of places I wouldn't want to be when Christ comes back or when I meet Him. Amen? I wouldn't want to be sitting in a bar stool when Jesus comes back. I wouldn't mind being right here with our church singing and worshiping God and having a Bible open. There's some people that have been in churches that's how they got to go. Why? Some nut came in and started, hey, if I got to go somewhere, I'd rather be right here in this church. There's a lot of things I wouldn't want to be looking at or doing when Christ came back. Some things that ought to be ashamed. Wouldn't it be shame if we were right in the middle of looking at something we weren't supposed to, and the next thing you know, we're looking at Christ? It's bad enough when you're doing something you're not supposed to and your parents walk in on you. That's bad. But I'm telling you, if you're sitting there looking at something, the next thing you know, in the twinkling of an eye, you blink your eye one time, and next thing you know, you're standing in front of Christ, and the last thing you were looking at was something you shouldn't have been. Last thing you were doing was partaking of something you shouldn't be partaking of, and next thing you know, you're standing before Christ. Uh-oh. Now the judgment seat of Christ. So here's how we're going to get this started. Amen? But what if you were reading your Bible and just going through there and said, man, in the morning, Brother Andrew just preached on this chapter yesterday. We're going to read it. And all of a sudden the Lord comes back. And, hey, God, can I ask you about this? I didn't get to finish reading that chapter. Amen? I wouldn't mind going out that way. There are some things you should absolutely not be ashamed of. You should not be ashamed of Christ. We find that right here in our reference. In verse number 8, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. We ought not to be ashamed of Jesus Christ. To say, I am a Christian. And be one more than just a t-shirt. Amen. Just a t-shirt. It ought to be more than that. Our life ought not to be ashamed of Christ. I'm not ashamed to pray. I'm not ashamed to carry my Bible. I'm not ashamed to tell somebody about Christ or to tell them that if they were to die without Him, they're going to hell. But Jesus paid the way that they don't have to. There's a lot of sin and wickedness in this world, and I know I preach hard against sin. I preach it against the people that are saved and should know better. There's people out there that are lost and going to hell. They don't know better. They do what lost people do. You say, what do? You love them. You tell them about Jesus. Amen. I don't agree with these people that go out yelling and screaming at lost people, telling them they're going to burn and go to hell because of their sin. Amen. Tell them about Jesus Christ paved the way to heaven. Amen. I'm all for yelling and screaming at Christians that are sinning. If you've been saved any length of time, you ought to grow in Christ. You ought to be more and more like Him. You ought to think more like Him. Do not be ashamed of Christ. The Bible said, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. That's why I love baptism. I love baptism for many reasons. One, we're told to do it. But these people are coming. I didn't go to them. I asked them if they'd come to me. Why? Because I want them to say, I'm not ashamed to do this. I want to get up in front of the church and tell them, I'm saved. Jesus saved me. Amen. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. I'm not ashamed. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, right here in our text. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. Do you know who you've trusted in this morning as your Savior? The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator of the universe? Don't be ashamed of Him. Don't be ashamed to be a Christian. It's not popular. It's old-fashioned. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed to be different. People say, I want to be different. So I'm a man and I want to become a woman so I can be different. Well, if you want to be different, just be a Christian. Just live right and dress right and you'll stick out like a sore thumb. Like a sore thumb. We ought not to be ashamed of Christ. You ought not to be ashamed of your Bible. You ought not to be ashamed of your Bible. The Bible says in Psalms 119:80, let my heart be sound in thy statutes that I be not ashamed. We ought to get in the Word of God. We ought to get to know it. We got to get to know what it says. Sometimes I think that we're ashamed of the Bible because we don't know it. We ought to get to know the Word of God. Study to show thyself the proven of God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We ought not to be ashamed of the Word of God. You ought not to be ashamed of preaching. Preaching should not embarrass you. Amen. Unless you need to be embarrassed. My dad said it the other day. Every time you leave church, you ought to leave mad, sad, or glad. Amen. Mad, one of the three. If you leave and nothing's different, then you weren't at church. Either be happy about what Christ has done for you, either be sad over your sin, or just mad because you're not going to do anything about it. The Bible said in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. You say, well, that's talking about preaching the gospel about somebody being saved. You ought to live the gospel. Preaching like we try to do to try to please Christ and try to help Christians get closer to Christ, those things, the end result is so we can see people saved. Amen. Magnify and lift up Jesus Christ in our lives. That if He be lifted up, He'll draw all men unto Himself. Do we draw men unto ourselves or unto Christ? 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 14. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him that he may be ashamed. You ought not to be ashamed of preaching. And if there's somebody that is, and they will not do right, the Bible said don't fellowship with that person. Today, we can have people that are living in flat-out sin as a Christian. I'm not talking about the lost world. They need Christ. I hope you understand me this morning. I'm talking people that know better, and they're living in sin, and they're not doing right, but we keep fellowshipping with them just like they're in church every Sunday. That's what it says here. Now, I'm not saying that you don't stop praying for them. I'm not saying that you don't stop trying to help them, but the idea is restoration. Get them back in church. But the book says that we are to separate from them so that it's a shameful thing to them. They're ashamed. Why? I can't go with you. I can't fellowship with you like this because of the way you're living. And they might get mad about it, but then they'll hopefully become shameful and say, man, I want to get right with God so I can get back in fellowship with God's people. We got people sitting in this room that had that testimony. Amen. You should not be ashamed, and I'm just preaching this because it's here in the text, of your pastor. Look, it says in verse 8, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner." You know what Paul was saying? I preach the gospel and I have to preach hard things. Do you know how Paul's preaching was described? Rude in speech. Now listen, I don't like angry preaching. I don't like hateful preaching. I'm talking about their demeanor and the attitude they have as being angry. I'm okay with strong preaching. I don't like hateful or mean preaching. I don't like that. If it's done with the right heart, people will get to understand. I'm okay with hard preaching, not hateful preaching. And Paul had rude speech. You didn't have to get out a notebook and a piece of paper to figure out what Paul was saying. You didn't have to do that. He shot straight with people. And because of his preaching and because of the things, he ends up in prison. And he goes, "Don't be ashamed of the testimony of Jesus Christ." He's like, "Don't be ashamed of me." I'm sure there's people that said, "Man, Paul who? Your pastor, Paul. Who? I don't know what you're talking about." I'm sure there's people that didn't bring family to come hear Paul preach. Because they said, "Man, if he comes, he might preach on this." And that might upset them. You know who normally gets upset with preaching on sin? It's the Christian. It's not the sinner. It's not the one that needs to be saved. Most of the time, it's the Christian that gets upset. Amen. I don't want anybody to be ashamed to say, "Brother Andrew McAfee's my pastor." And that's a great responsibility for me, to live right and do right and stay in the Word of God. I have to give an account for every person sitting in here this morning. Everything I've preached, I have to give an account for that. Amen. I wouldn't want nobody to be ashamed. And I threw this last one in there, and it's not here in the text, but there are verses that we could cover. But I want to tell you, children, this morning, don't be ashamed of your parents. Do not be ashamed of your parents. "Well, they're just old. They're just old-fashioned. They don't want me to have no fun." Thank God that you got parents that are willing to say, "No, we're not doing that. No, we're not going there. No, you're not going." Don't be ashamed of your parents. Honor thy father and thy mother. Do not be embarrassed and ashamed of your parents. Amen. Now, if they want to sneak a little kiss in the kitchen, you can be a little embarrassed about that and run away. I'm talking about if they try to stand for something, if they try to stand for truth, don't be ashamed of your parents. Say, "I thank God this is my parents." Amen. And if they tell you no, I'm sure most of the time it's a good reason. Sometimes it's just an immediate response. "Dad cannot know." Other times it's to protect you. Don't be ashamed of your parents. "Well, they make me dress this way. They make me do this." Hey, what if they're doing that because they want to please Christ and they want Christ to bless you? Don't be ashamed. 1 John chapter 2, verse 28, quickly. No, I'm done. Is Miss Sarah in here? Is she in the nursery? She's right there. Will you please come to the piano? We're going to have a baptism here in just a moment. I want to tell you something this morning, church. Jesus Christ took the humiliation, the shame, the reproach. He took the whip, the thorns, the embarrassment. He did all that for you. The Bible said in Hebrews 12:2, you don't have to turn there, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." He went through all that for you. And do you know what he's asking you to do? He's asking you to be ashamed of the things that put him on the cross. Why would we take pleasure? Now, I'm saved and I can't lose my salvation. Praise the Lord. But why would you take pleasure in the things that put him on the cross? that was sending you to hell. And then on the other side of the coin, why would you be ashamed of Him after all He did for you? 1 John chapter 2, let's all stand. You got your Bibles there in your lap. Just hold them up. 1 John chapter number 2. And she's going to begin to play. Chapter 2, verse number 28. And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be what? Ashamed before Him at His coming. What would we be ashamed about, Brother Andrew? We might be ashamed about the way that we're living as a child, as a born-again child of God. And then number two, we might be ashamed that we were ashamed of Him. We didn't stand up for Christ. We didn't give out that gospel tract. We didn't tell people about Him because we were ashamed. We didn't invite people to church because we were ashamed. We didn't stand up for Christ because we were ashamed. We're going to stand before Him one day, and I know there's a lot that I got to give an account for. But I'm telling you what, when I stand before Him, I would like to say, Lord, I know there's some stuff I got to get right with You. Got right down here, but I'm going to have to pay for this. But Lord, I don't want to be ashamed of You. I don't want to be ashamed of You. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Nobody looking around. Listen, God spoke to your heart. The altars are open this morning. I'm not ashamed. Maybe somebody this morning just wants to make a public, nobody's looking around, every eye closed, nobody's looking, but maybe this morning you want to just come remind Christ that you're not ashamed. Maybe there's some things in your life, there's already some that have come. Listen, I know sometimes it's hard to move after a message, but if God speaks to your heart, there's something about humbling yourself before God. You say, I can do it in the pew, you can, but there's something about humbling your pride and getting before God. God spoke to your heart, would you do something about it this morning? I don't want to be ashamed of Him. If there's things in my life, God, I want to give it to You. Father, I want to give it to You, God. I don't want to be ashamed of You. I don't want to be a reproach to the name of Christ. There may be somebody here this morning that has never accepted Christ as your personal Savior. All the things that we preach, they are applied to those that are saved and know better and should do right and live right and all those things. To be a lighthouse for Christ. Maybe there's somebody here this morning, you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. It's not in baptism. We're about to have baptism. It has nothing to do with that. That's a picture of what took place on the inside. Salvation is simply putting all your faith and trust in what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross of Calvary. You come before Him. Lord, I believe that You died on the cross for my sins. Lord, I'm a sinner. There's nothing I can do to merit eternal life. God, You did it all. You sent Your Son. But God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. The wages of sin is death. Jesus Christ became that death for us. He paid the price for sin. And to be saved, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It is simply, Lord, I need a Savior. And Lord, I'm thankful for what You did for me on the cross. I believe that You died on the cross and buried and rose again for me. Father, would You save me? And He'll save you this morning. Every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around, just very quickly. If you're here this morning, you say, Preacher, if I was to die today, if I was to walk out of this place and die today, I know for 100% sure, no doubt, I know I'm going to heaven. Would you raise your right hand? Nobody's looking around, just me and the Lord. I know that if I was to die today, I'm going to heaven. Raise your hand. All right, you can put them down. Hands went up all over. There's a few hands that could not go up. The Bible said we're not promised tomorrow. Our life is but a vapor that appeared for a little time and vanisheth away. We're not promised tomorrow. If you were to die today and you're not saved, you haven't trusted Christ as your Savior, on the authority of the Word of God, we're told that when you open your eyes, you're not going to stand before Christ. You're going to open them in a lake of fire. You're going to open them in hell, which is a real place, where they'll be tormented gnashing of teeth, screaming forever and ever and ever for eternity. But Jesus Christ took my place. And if you're saved, He took your place so that you don't have to go there. What I'm trying to tell you this morning is if you're lost and on your way to hell, Jesus Christ paid the way. The wages of sin is death. You're going to pay for your sin, or you're going to accept what Christ did on the cross of Calvary. One of the two. I'm thankful that as a 9-year-old boy, I accepted what Christ did for me on the cross. He saved me. And He can do the same thing for you today. We're about to be dismissed here in just a moment. Will there be anybody this morning say, "Preacher, I'd like to know more about this. I'd like to be saved." What we'll do, we got a man and a woman that can take, if you're a man, a lady, and we'll take you back to one of these rooms back here, and we'll take the Bible and show you the verses that I just quoted to you. Where you can, the Bible said in 1 John 5:13, you can know that you have eternal life. You can know that for sure. Anybody like that at all? Nobody's looking. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Anybody slip their hand up and say, "Preacher, I'd like to be saved this morning. I'd like to know more about it." Anybody at all? All right.